Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. The royal line of David will be cut off, chopped down like a tree. But from the stump will grow a shoot, yes, a new branch from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight will be obedience to the Lord. He will not judge by appearance, false evidence, or hearsay, but will defend the poor and the exploited. He will rule against the wicked who oppress him, and for he will be clothed with fairness and with truth. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will lie down together. And the leopard and the goats will be at peace. Calves and fat cattle will be safe among lions, and a little child shall lead them all. The cows will graze among bears. Cubs and calves will lie down together, and lions will eat grass like the cows. Babies will crawl safely among poisonous snakes, and a little child who puts his hand in the nest of a deadly adder's will pull it out unharmed. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for as the waters fill the sea, so shall the earth be full of the knowledge of the Lord. In that day, he who created the royal dynasty of David will be a banner of salvation to all the world. The nations will rally to him, for the land where he lives will be a glorious place. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well-known scripture. We often read this, probably every year. We read this section of Isaiah during Advent. And looking at it as the prophecy that it is and the ancient writing and scripture that it is one thing. And then I got to looking at it as a piece of writing, and I thought Isaiah has really mixed his metaphors here. He starts out talking about a shoot and a stump and a branch. So he's got this horticultural imagery. And then he's talking about a ruler and how he rules his people. So he's talking about a kingdom, a reign, a king, and the people. And then he's talking about how these animals will live together. So he's moved into another agricultural or natural image of all these animals. Is he talking about plants? Is he talking about animals? Is he talking about people? Well, yes, he is. All of those. So if we start at the beginning, we have Isaiah talking about this stump. And we understand, I hope, at least Isaiah's readers would have understood that when he's talking about the stump of Jesse, he's really talking about the family tree of David. Jesse was David's father. And of course, the Bible is very careful about its genealogy, its lineage. If you go through Matthew before we get to Jesus, we have to go through the whole family tree through Abraham and David and deportation and finally down to Mary and Joseph and Jesus. But he's talking about this shoot coming from the stump. Now, if you look at the stump of a tree, you probably think that you are looking at something that is dead. And that may be true, but it's not necessarily true. I know we have gardeners here today, this morning, and there are some trees that you want to get rid of, and you try very hard to cut them down, and you do cut them down, and you have nothing left but a stump, a bare stump. You don't necessarily have a dead tree. If you're working with a Chinese elm, you've just got something that's going to sprout up again all over. This is the kind of stump, not a Chinese elm, but a good tree. that Isaiah is talking about. This stump is not dead, or if it is dead, it's going to produce a shoot anyway. Out of death, life can come. So there's a shoot. There's a sprout that comes up. Not only does it come up and live, but it grows into another tree, a branch, a protective covering, a fruitful plant. It grows, and this is where he moves into another figure of speech, grows into the good shepherd, a good ruler, the perfect king, one who rules with wisdom and righteousness and equity and is a protector and a guide and a priest and a king and a prophet for his people. He is clearly talking about a person, and where we are looking back, we know that he is talking about the descendant of David that is the king of all and the prince of peace, great David's greater son, Jesus Christ. And so he describes the rule of this king that's going to come out of the ashes of deportation. What specifically happened with the line of David to make it a stump is that the descendants of David continued to rule on the throne in Jerusalem until the Babylonian exile. And with the Babylonian exile, the last king was taken away, was not killed, but was captive and was essentially under house arrest in Babylon, not functioning as a king. That looked like the end of the line. Isaiah says, no, that's not going to be the end of the line. So he describes this ruler, and then he moves into a description of the kingdom, and he moves into this other metaphor of the animal kingdom. And he's talking about things that to us seem unnatural. The wolf shall lie with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Got a little child who's at this point leading a wolf, a lamb, a leopard, a kid, a calf, and a lion. That seems pretty unlikely. The cow and the bear shall graze together, and the nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp and put its hand on the adder's den and not be harmed. This seems contrary to nature. We consider the natural order of things to be that these animals are at constant war. They kill and eat each other, and that's just the way things are. But is it? In the beginning, that's not the way things were. When God created the animals, the people, the birds, we're living in the Garden of Eden, and there was no hurting. There was no destroying. There was no killing. The way I read Genesis, it's the human beings who started the cycle of killing. So maybe Isaiah is promising a return to that perfect time. Or maybe Isaiah is promising a time that will be even better than that original perfect time. There might not have been any killing in the Garden of Eden, but there was a serpent. There was that snake who caused a lot of trouble. But the snake in Isaiah's vision, the poisonous snake, is not going to hurt even a little child. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth, the whole earth, will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So why is Isaiah telling us all this? Why is he giving this prophecy other than the fact that the word of the Lord came to Isaiah and he could do nothing other than proclaim it because he was a prophet. He is telling the people that although they're in a hard place and it looks like the end of the road, it looks like the light at the end of the tunnel is a train. And he's telling them that there is change coming and it's a good change and that there is hope. Last Sunday was our Sunday of hope. This Sunday is a Sunday of peace. And Isaiah is saying there is hope. There is real hope for peace, and it will be real peace. There is hope. Life can come out of destruction. Life will come out of destruction. And what is coming, what is promised by God, is going to be the exact opposite of what we have now. We will have life instead of death. We will have justice and mercy instead of corruption. We will have peace, peaceful living together of those who used to be enemies of one another. And we will not have pain or sorrow or destruction anymore. That's what Isaiah wanted his people to hear. That's what Jesus wants his people to hear. And that's what I pray we hear this morning. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.